Welcome to The Randy Report. I'm Randy Slavacek, your host. I'm also the writer and editor of therandyreport.com, where you can find me every single day on the internet reporting on the daily news cycle in terms of politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. In this week's headlines, another state wants to make drag queens in public a crime. The FDA has announced easing of restrictions on gay and bisexual men donating blood. And the 2023 Oscar nominations have been announced, with several nominations for LGBTQ-inclusive films. All that and more in this episode of The Randy Report. Gay and bisexual men in monogamous relationships will no longer be forced to abstain from sex in order to donate blood, under new federal guidelines to be proposed by the Food and Drug Administration in coming days. The planned relaxation of restrictions by the FDA follows years of pressure by blood banks, the American Medical Association, and LGBTQ rights organizations to abandon rules some experts say are outdated, homophobic, and ineffective at keeping the nation's blood supply safe. The new approach eliminates rules that target men who have sex with men and instead focuses on sexual behaviors by people, regardless of gender, that pose a higher risk of contracting and transmitting HIV. The new risk assessment is expected to ask potential donors, regardless of gender or sexual orientation, if they have had any new sexual partners in the past 3 months. If the answer is no, they'll be allowed to give blood. Those who have had new sexual partners would be asked if they'd engaged in anal intercourse in the past 3 months. Those who have would be asked to wait 3 months to donate. The new policy is expected to be adopted by the FDA following a period of public comment. Several other countries, including the United Kingdom, Canada, and France, have all made similar adjustments to their blood donation policies in recent years as well. The restrictive policies regarding gay men and blood donations began in the mid-1980s as the HIV epidemic was taking hold in the United States. In 1985, the FDA announced what amounted to a lifetime ban on blood donations from any men who had had sex with other men. As blood testing technology improved, the FDA relaxed the restrictions to some degree. In 2015, the FDA eased blood donation restrictions for gay men who abstained from sex for 12 months. In 2020, as the COVID-19 pandemic spiraled out of control and blood shortages became more severe, the agency reduced the waiting period again, this time to 3 months. It's worth noting that non-monogamous straight folks have been allowed to donate blood all these years without a hitch. And yet, people who acquired HIV through heterosexual contact made up 22% of HIV diagnoses in the United States in 2020. The troubles for Truth Challenge Congressman George Santos of New York really kicked into gear this week as the Justice Department asked the Federal Elections Commission to hit pause or stand by on any enforcement action against Santos, as federal prosecutors are conducting their own criminal probe. The request, which came from the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section, is the clearest sign to date that federal prosecutors are examining Santos's campaign finances. The Justice Department request also asked that the FEC provide any relevant documents to the Justice Department. In related news, the Securities and Exchange Commission has reportedly interviewed two people about Santos's work with Harbor City Capital, an investment firm that was forced to shut down in 2021 after the SEC accused it of operating, quote, a classic Ponzi scheme. Plus, political website Mother Jones reported this week that they'd gone through Santos's 2020 campaign finance reports and found more than a dozen top donors who say they never donated to his campaign. Among their findings, Victorian Jonathan Rieger, whose residence was listed in the reports as 45 New Mexico Street in Jackson, New Jersey, were reported as each giving $2,800. But as Mother Jones found, there is no record of a Victoria or Jonathan Rieger living in the United States, nor is there a residence listed at the address 45 New Mexico Street in Jackson, New Jersey. And a retiree named Stephen Berger, living at an address on Brant Road in Brawley, California, was listed as giving $2,500. But Mother Jones found that William Brant, same name as the street, and his wife have lived at that home for at least 2 decades. He says he did not donate to Santos, nor does he even know a Stephen Berger. The plot thickens as the worm turns. I'm very sad to report that gay former Australian bobsledder and rugby player Simon Dunn passed away this week at the age of 35. The Star Observer reports that Simon's body was found in his Sydney apartment on Saturday, January 21st. While no cause of death has been announced, the police say his passing is not being treated as suspicious. Just 3 months ago, Dunn and his partner of 5 years, Felix Maisie Curtis, announced they had parted ways. Simon wrote on Instagram, "After a rough year of personal loss, it became clear our time together was at a close and what we were looking for in life and partners had evolved. I give him credit, as it takes true love to know when to let someone go live their best lives, which we have decided to do. Onwards." I've followed Simon on Instagram for years, ever since he became the first out gay male player to represent a country in the sport of bobsled. After retiring from bobsled in 2016, he moved to London to return to his first sporting love, rugby. He went on to play for gay rugby teams, the King's Cross Steelers in the UK, and the Sydney Convicts in Australia. In both 2018 and 2019, he was shortlisted for the honor of Australian LGBTI Awards Sports Personality of the Year. He was also one of DNA Magazine's Sexiest Men Alive in 2019. Dunn hoped to return to bobsled in 2021 with the hopes of participating in the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing as part of Team Australia. Unfortunately, that dream came to an end after he ruptured a bicep during training. However, in 2022, he came back and competed with the Sydney Convicts in the Bingham Cup tournament. A vocal advocate for LGBTQ rights, Simon served as a Give Out ambassador, as well as an ambassador for the Australian HIV charity Bobby Goldsmith Foundation. In addition to his athletic career, as well as his LGBTQ advocacy, Simon was clearly easy on the eyes. For several years, he sold his own beefcake calendar, which benefited the Bobby Goldsmith Foundation. Since I began the Randy Report, I came to feature Simon many, many times. And along the way, I felt I'd gotten to know him. Looking back through my files, I found an article I'd written about an Instagram post Simon made in 2019, which offered a candid and personal message breaking down some of the myths of Insta life. He wrote in part, "The online persona I show you is all photo shoots, parties, and magazine covers. This hasn't always been entirely the truth." He added, "Earlier this year, I found myself back in Australia, living in a country town in my mother's spare room, and financially broke. Having to rebuild my life at the time felt like a monumental task. I honestly didn't think I could do it." In the face of his financial and emotional adversity, Simon admitted he'd stopped taking care of himself, adding that he was drinking most weekends away and felt he'd hit a low point in his life. So he decided to post a photo that represents, quote, the real me, someone who, like everyone else, has obstacles they need to overcome. Simon said at the time that being able to post the photo represented his own little victory and that he'd found his passion for life again and he was looking forward to the next chapter. I think now, looking back at that post, that Simon was trying to tell us something even bigger about his mental health. Following his passing, fans flocked to his final social media post on Instagram to leave their respects. Among the comments, American bobsledder Chris Kinney wrote, "You were so supportive when I was struggling with coming out in our sport. We'll miss you, Simon." And Canadian Olympic figure skating medalist Eric Radford wrote, "Rest in peace, Simon. Thank you for inspiring us." Fly high, Simon Dunn. Why do conservatives hate drag so much? A new bill introduced in the Oklahoma legislature would make it a felony punishable by up to a $20,000 fine for drag artists to perform anywhere that minors might be present, like an afternoon pride event. The bill would make it unlawful for a person to engage in an adult cabaret performance in public before a minor. The fine may fall in the range of $500 to $20,000, and it may also incur a prison sentence from 30 days to 2 years, according to the bill's text. Republican State Representative Kevin West, who filed House Bill 2186 on January 19th, told Business Insider that the bill is intended to limit performances, quote, in a public space. West's bill specifically named drag queen story hours as events that would be considered unlawful, as well as other forms of adult cabaret performances. It would also create a misdemeanor for anyone who organizes or authorizes such performances in public or in view of minors, threatening a fine of $500 to $1,000 and a maximum of a year in county jail. The bill compared drag performers to strippers and topless dancers. This follows a trend of similar legislation gaining traction nationwide to limit drag performances in states such as Arizona, Texas, Idaho, Michigan, Montana, Missouri, Tennessee, it's a lot of states, folks, Nebraska, South Carolina, and West Virginia. In Florida, conservatives championed their state's icky Don't Say Gay bill as not anti-gay, but pro-parents' rights. They said the point of the bill was for parents to have a say in what their children were exposed to. Well, I think that's a lot of hooey. But bringing that into context with drag queen story hours, it's important to note, nobody is forcing any parent to take their child to a drag queen story hour. The children who do attend are not being exposed to pornography. They're being exposed to children's books for children. All this uproar over what is really a wholesome event makes it plain what the issue really is. Not parental rights, not sexualization, not the content of what the drag queens are reading to the kids. It's the existence of drag queens. It's the idea that someone might present in a way that's at odds with a certain vision of how men or women should, I hate that word, dress or present or behave. The irony here is drag queens have been a part of mainstream entertainment for years, whether we're talking about Nathan Lane in The Birdcage or Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire. Before them, there were comedians like Milton Berle and Flip Wilson. Heck, even Bugs Bunny has popped in and out of drag for almost 80 years. If we really want to protect children, let's stop with the anti-LGBTQ legislation being introduced in state legislatures. NBC News reported earlier this month that more than 100 bills targeting LGBTQ rights and queer life, from transgender healthcare to drag shows, have been filed in 22 states in 2023 so far, leading advocates to expect this year will set a new record for anti-LGBTQ legislation. And just the introduction of those bills is having an effect on queer kids. A new poll conducted by Morning Consult at the behest of the Trevor Project found 71% of LGBTQ youth say state laws restricting the rights of LGBTQ young people have negatively impacted their mental health. And 75% of LGBTQ youth say that threats of violence against LGBTQ spaces, such as community centers, pride events, drag shows, or hospitals that serve LGBTQ kids, often give them stress or anxiety. Young people are telling us that they're really afraid. They're afraid that schools or libraries aren't safe for them anymore. And that fear doesn't come from drag queens. The The nominations for the 95th Academy Awards were announced Tuesday morning, and while most of the projects lacked queer leading actors or creative artists, many of the films honored with nominations included LGBTQ+ characters. Queer inclusive Everything Everywhere All at Once raked in the most nominations with 11 total, including one for Stephanie Hsu for Best Supporting Actress as Michelle Yeoh's queer daughter in the film. Tar, a film about a predatory lesbian conductor and composer, received 6 nominations, including Best Picture and a nod for Best Actress for Cate Blanchett. And the acclaimed film The Whale earned 3 nominations, including one for Best Actor for Brendan Fraser's performance of a gay man spiraling out of his grief over the death of his partner. Also, Netflix's Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, which features Daniel Craig as a queer detective, earned a nomination for Best Adapted Screenplay. As I mentioned in my Best of 2022 Roundup podcast episode, my favorite film of the year was Close, from Belgium, which follows 2 13-year-old best friends growing up in rural Belgium whose seemingly unbreakable bond is suddenly impacted by a thoughtless remark by a student at their new school. I'm happy to report the film was honored with a nomination for Best International Feature Film. While there were queer roles played by straight actors honored with nominations, there were no LGBTQ artists nominated in the acting categories. In terms of LGBTQ snubs, a few come to mind. I'd hoped out actor Jeremy Pope, who was nominated for a Golden Globe for his performance in The Inspection about a gay Marine facing scrutiny about his sexuality, would have been in the mix. If you haven't seen it yet, do. And Janelle Monáe in Glass Onion was one of the best performances I'd seen in 2022. Definitely Oscar worthy. And Jim Parsons and Ben Aldridge were fantastic in Spoiler Alert, which stars Parsons as out journalist Michael Asiello and Aldridge as Kit Cowan, his husband who goes through an 11-month battle with terminal cancer. I won't list all of the categories now, but here are the nominees for Best Picture: All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar: The Way of Water, The Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fablemans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, and Triangle of Sadness. You can find a full list of all the nominees at therandyreport.com. The 95th Academy Awards, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel and televised on ABC, will take place on March 12, 2023, at the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles. And that brings me to the end of this episode of The Randy Report. If you enjoy catching up on LGBTQ news in a quick podcast, I'd appreciate it if you'd share it with your friends. I like to think of The Randy Report as the 60 minutes of gay news, only shorter. And remember, you can find me every single day on the internet at therandyreport.com, where I cover the daily news cycle regarding politics, pop culture, and entertainment news of interest to the LGBTQ community and its allies. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time.